Go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts tonight, Acts chapter 11, if you would. We stand forgiven at the cross. How many of you remember the day that became a personal reality for you? You remember the day that you accepted Christ as your Savior? Who would say that tonight? You remember that decision, and you remember standing forgiven at the cross, and that was a wonderful time. I remember that when I was the age of 8 years old, when that became a reality. And that seems like a long time ago, but there's aspects of that event that are so vivid in my mind that stand out, that seem like it was just only yesterday. And the thought, even some of the thought processes that were going through my mind as an 8-year-old boy and thinking, you know what, I don't have to wonder where I'm going to spend eternity. That has been settled, and I'm thankful for that. And it is a blessing. Thanks so much, ladies. Great job. That blessed my heart. I appreciate that. You're in Acts chapter 11 tonight. You know, I think that song goes right along with some things that we're going to be looking at. But I want you to notice, starting just a few verses this evening, but notice with me Acts chapter 11. We're going to start reading here in verse 19. Just a second. Hopefully most of you found it. If you found it, go ahead and look up here just so I know that we've all got it. All right, looks like the majority is there. Notice what it says, verse 19. It says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." Verse 20, "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. And when he came, and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord." Notice this, though, the next couple of verses. "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called," what? "Christians first in Antioch." This is kind of a monumental time in our history, is it not? I mean, this is the first time that those who followed Christ received the title of that of Christians. That was not a term that Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Hey, I'm giving you this name." Now, that was a term that others looked at people that were following Jesus and said, "You know what encompasses this group? That of Christ." And tonight I want us to notice some things about this particular phrase. "Came to pass, a whole year assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." As I read this passage, the thought occurred to me as I read it, why were they called Christians? What led those people who were looking at them, what led them to this particular word? What led them to put this title on this group of people? And I want us to notice three things tonight of why I believe they were called Christians. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you direct our hearts. Lord, I can already see how you're using the special music, Lord, right along with the message tonight. Lord, I pray that you would take control of this service. Lord, and by that, we ask that you would just lead, Lord, very clearly. I pray that you would lead my thinking, Father, as Father, I try to recall, do my best to recall those things which I've studied. Lord, there are things that you've touched my heart about that I've been looking forward to all day, Lord, to talk about and to share with your people. I pray, Lord, tonight that we would see some things, Father, that would change us. Lord, things that would motivate us. Lord, may we see you high and lifted up and understand your truth for what it is tonight. We'll give you the glory for it. In your name we pray. Amen. The term that was first used in Acts 11 some 2,000 years ago has become the defining name for those who follow Christ today. Although the term has its roots in specifics, it has sometimes been used in a very broad sense to include people that accept some very unspecific beliefs. I found this interesting. In 2001, the American Religious Identification Survey was handed to some 50,000 households by the Graduate Center of City University of New York. The households were asked several questions. One of those was this: what is your religion, if any? And then based on how they answered that question, they'd then ask another question. If they said that they were Christian, then they would ask if the people would give them the specific denomination that they were a part of, or the particular group that they were a part of. And it was in this survey that then they began to list some 35 different organizations or denominations that by their own profession was linked to this thing of Christian or Christianity. Of those included in the list of Christian were some Catholics, Jehovah's Witness, Christian Science, Quaker, Mormonism, Apostolic, Mennonite, and Muslim. It's amazing to me how the term Christian has just been distorted over the years, has it not? And how is it that something like that happens? I think that sometimes people, although they say they are something, they don't really exactly know even what that is. The dilemma of an unclear sense of personal identity was illustrated by an incident in the life of a famous German philosopher who one day, as a much older man, he was an individual that was a self-proclaimed theologian, and yet at the same time, he was a philosopher, and he was well known for his modernistic thought, lived in the 1800s. The story is told that one day, as an old man, he was sitting alone on a bench in a park. Policemen, thinking that he was homeless, came over and shook him and said, "Who are you?" And to this, as an older gentleman, as he sat there and contemplated the man's question, he said, "I wish I knew." Here was a man that had studied those things biblical. And yet he had studied those things of philosophy. And he had been on the front lines of modernistic thought and humanism. And when he looked back over the course of his life and tried to determine what exactly he was or what he was linked to, he had nothing to say. In fact, he himself, it had confused him, brought so much confusion to his life that he couldn't even answer the question. I'm afraid today that when we hear the name Christian, it means a lot of things that it was not intended to mean. And I want us to see three things just with the brief time that we have tonight that I think went into the thinking of these who placed the title of Christian on this group of believers there at Antioch. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to notice with me in verse 19. Notice a couple of words that are mentioned in both 19 and 20. Look at what it says. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word." Notice verse 20, "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which were they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." The first thing that I want you to notice tonight of why they were called Christians was because of, number one, what they believed. Because of what they believed. If you notice in these two verses that in each instance, the word preaching is used. Now, if you look at these two specific words and dig a little bit deeper, you find that there are actually two different Greek words being used here. The first one that is used in verse 19 has more of the idea to say or to speak. Okay, we could say in terms of maybe natural conversation, some things were being communicated. Okay, if you go on to verse 20, you find that there's a different word that is used here for preaching, and that is that which is to proclaim the good news. Okay, this would be kind of what I'm doing here tonight, okay? Standing up, a group of people proclaiming the truth of God, okay? That is preaching. All right, and so do you see the picture here that regardless of whatever setting they were in, whether it would be one-on-one conversation or whether they had the opportunity to speak in a public setting, they were communicating some of their beliefs. They were called Christians because of the things that flowed from their heart, because of what they believed. Notice they believed what Jesus said. What exactly are we talking about when we say, hey, they believed because of what they believed? Well, it was everything about what they believed about Jesus Christ. They believed in their hearts that Jesus was 100% who He said He was. I want you just for a second to consider some of the statements that came from Jesus Christ's own lips. Okay? And we could look at a lot of statements tonight, but I just want us to notice seven particular I am statements from the book of John. Think about what Jesus said about Himself. He says in John chapter 6 and verse 48, He said, I am the bread of life. He said in John 8 and verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. John chapter 10 and verse 9, He said, I am the door. John chapter 10 and verse 11, He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John chapter 11, verse 25, He said this, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John chapter 14 and verse 6, you'll be familiar with this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then in John 15, He said this, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. You know, in every situation when Jesus claimed, everything that He claimed, everything that He said about Himself and what His purpose was, they believed. They looked at who Jesus Christ was and they saw the things that He proclaimed to be, and they made a personal decision to acknowledge that that was true. They looked at Him and they said, okay, this is the Son of God. He's come to do what He said He's come to do, and He's going to do it. And of course, they're on the other side of the cross at this point, but they simply believed what Jesus said. You know, I'm afraid that today there's some people that call themselves Christians that don't know what they believe. If you start to ask them about, okay, well, you're a Christian, now go ahead and tell me what that means to you, I'm afraid that some people cannot. I'm afraid that there's some Catholics out there that, you know, if you would go to their door and you ask them, hey, what are you? They would say, well, I'm a Christian. And you would say, well, tell me about that. I'm afraid that they probably wouldn't be able to do that. Or if they could, it might even be some, something that was mixed with works and a whole lot of other things. Who knows? But you know what? These people were convicted in their heart about a particular truth, and they believed it 100%. They were called Christians because of what they believed. They believed what Jesus said. But not only that, they believed in what He did. Like I said, they're on the other side of the cross at this point. Some of them may have even witnessed Jesus dying on the cross. This is not too many years removed from that. Jesus has ascended into a heaven. But when they looked at Christ, they looked at what not only what He did, not only what He said, but they looked at what He did. Hey, you know, you want to find if somebody's real? Look at the things that they're saying and then look and see if their life backs it up. 100%. You can mark it down. If there is a difference in those two things, that person, there's conflict there. That person, somewhere along the line, that person is not either true to themselves or true to reality. And they looked at this situation. They said, hey, Jesus said this. Not only did He say it, but He did it. Of course, you and I know that Jesus came to earth. He lived a sinless life. Some of these maybe even witnessed that. Some of them may have even got close enough to Jesus to understand, hey, I've never heard this man use a curse word. I've never heard this man, you know, do anything that's mean or anything. It's almost like he's sinless, and that's because he was. He was God's Son. He went to the cross to die for our sin. Somebody had to die for that sin. But these men looked at what Jesus said. Not only that, they looked at what He did. They saw it. Let me ask you, what do you believe tonight? Do you believe that Jesus was who He said He was and did what He said He'd do? You know, this was a decision that they had to make, personal standpoint. You know, these folks that looked at this group and said, hey, Christians, that's what they are. These people were not called Christians because they were following a faith that their parents had put upon them. Okay? This was not their neighbor's faith, and therefore they were adopted in. Well, those are Christian people. No, this was something they believed in. This was not their youth pastor's faith. Alright? No, I'm afraid that sometimes, you know, we grow up, and it's easy in a church-type setting, we grow up without realizing that there has to be a personal decision that each of us must make. Hey, what am I going to do with Jesus Christ? You know, it's not about what my parents are going to do, although I hope they accept the Lord. It's not about what my parents, my neighbor, my best friend, it's not about what my youth pastor or his wife are going to do. It's about how I feel and what I believe about Jesus Christ. It's a personal decision, and these guys have made it. It's because of what they believe. You know, I'm afraid that there's a whole lot of people that think they are Christians and on their way to heaven simply because they're good people. Simply because they don't do drugs, or they don't do wrong things, or they maybe give a lot of money, or maybe they've been baptized, or maybe they're a church member of some sort. And you know what? All of those are great things in their proper place, but really those things don't have anything to do with a personal decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Can I ask you tonight, have you made that personal decision? It's because of what they believe. We're running out of time, but jot this down. Notice the second thing here. We notice that in verse 21, because of how they behaved, not only because of what they believed, but how they behaved. Notice this. Look at verse 21. We see different characteristics of some Christians here that were on full display. Notice verse 21, it says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." You notice down through verse 23, we say, "Who when he came, he had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord." You notice verse 26, and speaking of when Barnabas found Saul, he found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass the whole year they assembled themselves, the church, and taught much people. You know, time and time again, we see different characteristics that are playing out in their actions that pointed to what they believed. Not only because of what they believed, but because of how they behaved. Their faith was influenced by the way that they lived. Many of you will know the name Dan Cathy. Anybody know that name? Raise your hand if you've heard that name before, Dan Cathy. All right, somebody tell me. Layla? Who is he? Chick-fil-A guru, we'll call him. Yeah, CEO, founder of Chick-fil-A. Amazing man. All right, years ago, he came up with a plan. He had a vision for something that he wanted to do, and it included two things. It included, number one, great food and great customer service. And can we just say they've mastered both of those? Yes, they have. All right. You know, hey, here's a great example. Listen. Hey, I'm going to be very honest. I like to eat, although I don't look like it, okay? I do like to eat, okay? I've gone into a lot of restaurants, okay? One of the things that we loved to do when we got married was, let's go to a restaurant, you know? We always go to restaurants, all right? I love to eat. I do. I've been in a lot of restaurants, okay? You know what? But I haven't been in many. I haven't been in many where you get the kind of customer service you get at Chick-fil-A, okay? Listen. Chick-fil-A's not paying me. I don't work at Chick-fil-A, okay? They didn't pay me to say that. But the fact is, when you walk in, okay, and you approach the counter, all right, that you're going to be greeted with a smile. And you're going to be greeted with, how can I help you? They seem like they're actually happy to see you, okay? They hand you your food. You know, I mean, all these things you say, well, they do that at McDonald's, not like they do at Chick-fil-A, okay? Trust me on that. Right, listen, hey. You know what? Sorry, Matt. I know you worked there, but sorry. Listen. Because of what they believe, it makes them live differently. Okay? There's a strong connection here, and it's no different here for these Christians because of what they believe, but how they behaved. You know, they said, hey, because we believe this, it affects how we live. You know, the word Christian means follower of Christ. You know, what does it mean to follow Christ? Well, we can look here and we could see that their actions were different than everyone else. I want you to notice Matthew chapter 5. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. While you're turning there, just kind of listen up here. Matthew chapter 5. The reason that this group of people stuck out in this day and age was because they lived differently. Okay, so what was it? What was the norm in this day and time? That's the question that we have to ask. What were some things that would have been normal for just anybody to do? Notice with me, Matthew chapter 5. Look at what it says here. Matthew chapter 5. Notice with me starting in verse 22. It says, Jesus here is addressing a large crowd. He says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say," goes on. Okay? Listen. Time and time again in this passage, he goes on in verse 22. He goes on to verse 27, verse 31, verse 38, and 43, all of which carries the same idea. He says, listen, in present day, it is accepted to do this. But I'm telling you that there's a better way. Okay? He mentions this. He says, listen. He says, it's been understood that somebody that would kill should be in line for judgment. That's understandable. But I want you to understand that the man that looks with hatred, that is without cause, that's in line for judgment. You see, there's a higher standard here that Jesus is trying to communicate. And he goes on, he says in verse 27, he says, hey, you've heard that, you know, you say no to adultery, but at the same time, understand there's a higher calling. Whoso lusteth after a woman has committeth adultery in his heart. He goes on one hand, he says, hey, it's been acceptable in some areas to divorce. But he said, listen, I say no divorce. It says in verse 38, it's been acceptable. Hey, if somebody hits you, hit them back. That just makes sense. An eye for an eye, right? A tooth for a tooth. But he said, listen, I'm asking you to turn the other cheek. Okay, listen, hey, he's talking about normal stuff here. And you know what? The same things that Jesus was talking about in that day are no different than this day. You know, how many people, you know, would be told that, hey, son, if you go to work and somebody punches, or you go to school and somebody punches you in the face, I want you to turn around and hit them as hard as you can. Okay? Why? Because that makes sense. But Jesus said, hey, hold on a second. There's a higher calling here. There's something that's much more important than just getting the other guy back. And time and time we see it, and this is what made the early Christians different. The people there at Antioch would look around and they say, there's something different about this group of people. I mean, you know, did you see that? That guy just did him wrong. That guy just ripped him off in the marketplace and he didn't take him to court. Did you see that? There was something starkly different about the way that they lived. And I'm afraid that 9 times out of 10 that you and I, we read these verses and we think that they're so far connected from reality. Hey, this should be the norm for us. And you know what? The Lord convicted my heart because so often it's not. So often I'm riding down the road and somebody cuts me off and boy, my tendency more than anything is just get on their back bumper and ride. But that's not right. It's not right. What we believe should impact the things that we do, and their actions were different. Not only were they different, but they were dedicated. Look at verse 26. Go back to Acts chapter 11 quickly, and we're almost done. Acts chapter 11. Not only were their actions different, but notice their actions were dedicated. You're turning back. Acts chapter 11. Look at verse 26. The tail end of that, you notice here, it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. You know, these people of Antioch, this city of Antioch, had quite a lot of time to observe these Christians that had moved into their area. The Bible says that there was for a whole year Barnabas stayed there and Paul, and they taught and educated the people on the things of the Lord. They had a significant amount of time to observe them. And you know what they found? They found that these Christians were dedicated. it wasn't just some fly-by-night, you know, one-night kind of a deal where, hey, these Christians are on fire for the Lord and the next they're not. No, this they observed over a period of a year. And then even further, as we of course know, the Apostle Paul's effective ministry throughout. But they were, their actions were different. Their actions were dedicated. We see the length of time and that they stayed. But also, you know, this was a very tumultuous time. If you look back at verse 19, you see a key factor in all of this. You notice that Stephen is mentioned. Just a couple of chapters before, he was stoned. And this type of thing was going on in the early church. Hey, when somebody stood up and said, hey, I'm going to follow Christ, they weren't passing out lollipops, okay? They weren't, hey, giving pats on the back, you know, right there in the government house and saying, hey, you're a Christian? Hey, that's wonderful. Good job. You know what? You decided to follow Christ. That's not what was happening. What was happening? People were dying. Boy, how in the face of that would these guys have the courage to stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to follow Christ. Their actions were so different from what you and I experience today. They had persecution left and right. And you know what? They weren't afraid to hide their actions because it was a part of what they believed. I'll give you the last thing because we don't have time for anything more. But not only because of what they believed, but because of how they behaved and because of who they belonged to. Because of who they belonged to. Verse 23, you see what Barnabas says here. Says that he was glad and exhorted them all with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. You know why? Why were they to cleave unto the Lord? Because we are His. I thought of this verse as I kind of thought about this. You know, the Lord takes pride in His relationship with us, which blows my mind. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. You know, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you belong to the Lord. And that ought to thrill your heart. You know, I was thinking about this too. You know, you and I are forever connected with our parents. You know, we are. You know, you think about it. You know, the Bible says that, you know, children are we're like arrows that are sent out of our house. Psalms talks about that. And we're just forever connected, tied to our parents. You know, when I left the Devane home, I took the Devane name with me. Okay? And now that I have a family, have a home, I pass that on to my children. My two boys are going to grow up and they're going to take that name, and they're going to continue on. And you know, there's nothing. They could go to the courthouse and change their name, but you know what? No matter what they do, they're never going to be able to change their connection with me, their tie to me. And that's a fact. And you know, the same is true for our relationship with the Lord. When I got saved, He imprinted Himself on my heart, and I carry Him with me wherever I go. I belong to Him. We are His, and He loves us so much. John chapter 17 talks about how Jesus prayed for us even before He went to the cross. Along with that comes all the protection and security we will ever need for this life and eternity. Along with that comes our responsibility to remember that we are not our own. As Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I wish we had time to look at more tonight, more details of this, but they were called Christians because of what they believed, how they behaved, and who they belonged to. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. I want to give you a hypothetical question to envision this evening. Let's say that we loaded up our vans, our buses, we loaded up everything we've got, just the youth group. And we just decided we were going to go on a lengthy trip. Didn't know when we were coming back. But I wondered if somehow we could go back in time, and let's just say that we rolled right on into a little place called Antioch. I wonder if we unloaded our vans, unloaded our buses, and got out. I wonder if we were able to spend a significant amount of time there. I wonder this. What title would the people of Antioch place on us? Would they look at us and would they say, hey, there is a group that is crazy for technology? Well, I'll tell you, they just crave it. They're into it. The latest and greatest thing, they are wild about technology. This group is all teched out. I wonder if they'd look at us and maybe they'd say, hey, here's a group that is a group of just people that are crazy about friendships. They love the time they spend with each other, and it is friends all the way. I wonder if they'd look and say, hey, it's sports. That group, they're super athletic. They eat, drink, and sleep. Sporting events, that's them. Sports all the way. I wonder if they would say, though, like they said of these followers of Christ, as they had time to look at them, had time to see how they were different than everybody else, had time to examine their testimony. I wonder if they'd look at us and say, you know what? There are some dedicated Christ followers right there. Christian, can I ask you, are you living up to the name tonight? Are you true to the title? Maybe you're here tonight and you've never made that personal decision of accepting Christ as your Savior. Maybe you want to do that tonight. I encourage you to do it. But if you're here tonight, God's worked in your heart about being true to who you are. Do business with God. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the work that you've done in my heart. Lord, I met with you alone in my office. Lord, we could never repay you for the work that you've done on behalf of us. And Lord, I am so ashamed for the way that I have lived and the poor representation that I've been at times for you. Oh Lord, impress upon our hearts the importance of, Lord, living what we believe. Have your will and way, Lord, in this invitation time, we pray in your name. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If God's worked in your heart, the altar is open, pianist is playing. Take time tonight to talk to the Lord. Just you and Him. Do business with Him. Don't let anything stand in your way. A lot of confusion out there. A lot of people that bear the name Christian have no idea what it means. Let's show them by how we live. Decided to follow Jesus? Have you ever made that personal decision? There's still time. I encourage you to come. We have youth workers who are trained. They will take time to pray with you, talk with you, answer any questions that you may have. One more verse. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the work that you've done in our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that it wouldn't just be a passing moment, but Lord, it would be, Father, something that we remember and carry with us the rest of this week. Lord, help us to remember, Father, who we belong to. Lord, we're your messengers. We're ambassadors for Christ, as your word says. Help us not forget. In your name we pray. Amen.